Loving Father, as we turn to your word, the Bible, now we do so expecting to encounter you powerfully in it. So please give us attentive and humble hearts that we might hear your voice addressing us and be open to your work in us, forming us into the people you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5.
1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away.
Well, the Barnabas Fund reports that in October last year, three men visited Pastor Luke Sarkar in his home in the Pabna district of Bangladesh. And they said they wanted to know more about Christianity. It turned out to be a ruse. As he talked with them about Jesus, the three men pulled out a knife, attacked him, and attempted to slit his throat. Now, in Iraq, a church leader was kidnapped by members of Islamic State and a ransom demanded. And despite the fact that his family managed to find the money to make the payment, just hours later, he was murdered and his body cut up. Pieces of him were sent to his home in a box. And in recent years in China, several house church leaders have been attacked, arrested and put in prison, where they've been beaten and tortured for their faith. In our own country, in October 1999, a vicar in Newcastle spoke out saying that the Bible is clear and homosexual activity is wrong. And he found his church building sprayed with graffiti, calling him a bigot. The inner context in which Christians are facing hostility and opposition, it's often church leaders who are most exposed as targets of persecution. And in such a situation, it may not be surprising that some leaders would be unwilling to lead. As Peter writes this letter, he knows firsthand what it's like to be targeted as a Christian leader. In Acts 5, verses 1 to 5, we read this. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for trial after the Passover, so Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. Well, on that occasion, God miraculously rescued Peter from his prison cell, but his calling by God to be a leader of the church would eventually lead to his martyrdom in Rome under Emperor Nero. As we've read this letter together over the last few months, we've seen that Peter has a lot to say to his readers about facing hostility for the sake of Christ. And here in our passage this morning, he's writing to those who are leaders in the church, the elders. They are literally older men in the church who have been given a ministry of oversight. And he's urging them, despite the hostility they're facing, to remain faithful to the work that God has given them to do. So as we look at it together now, we'll see that what Peter writes here is particularly intended for me as the vicar of the church. I'm preaching to myself this morning. That doesn't mean that you should all get up and leave. Apart from the fact that I'd be very lonely if you all did that. I hope that we'll see as well that what Peter writes here is vitally important for everyone in church leadership, whether it's in children's work or youth work or home groups or any other kind of leadership. And if you're not currently serving in leadership in the church, I hope this passage will help you to see how you can be praying for those who are. Well, firstly, Peter says, be shepherds. Please look down at verse 1. Peter writes, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. And in the original text, that paragraph begins with the word therefore, which the NIV misses out. It's a linking word, indicating that this appeal follows on from what Peter has just said. If you remember, Peter has explained that the hostility that his readers are facing is part of the sorting out process in history by which God is separating those who are his from those who are not. And he said that it's better to suffer now for your faith than to renounce Christ and face worse later. And so he encourages readers to remain loyal to Christ and to continue to do good. So then he said at the end of chapter 4, and you can see if you just glance back, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. So this appeal to the elders follows on from those words. Notice that Peter appeals to them as a fellow elder. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, he says. He could have appealed to them as an apostle. He could have commanded them with apostolic authority. But he doesn't do that. Instead, he appeals to them, not as an apostle, but as a fellow elder. He's not standing over them, waving a big stick. Rather, he's standing alongside them, encouraging them. He understands the fears and the pressures that face them because he also bears the responsibilities of an elder in the church. So there's a call in these verses to humble leadership, and Peter's setting the tone for this immediately in the way he writes. He's a partner with them in the work they're doing. And he says he appeals to them not just as a fellow elder, but also as a witness of Christ's sufferings. He probably isn't referring to himself there as an eyewitness of Christ's sufferings, although he certainly was that. He's probably referring to himself as one who bears witness to the world of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He knows what it means to be persecuted for the sake of the gospel, because like them, he's bearing witness to Christ in a hostile world and suffering as a result. See, he isn't asking them to do anything that he himself is not also doing. And he appeals to them as one who will share in the glory to be revealed. He wants them to remember the pattern of Jesus. Suffering now, followed by glory later. Those who suffer for Christ will one day also reign with him in glory. And Peter's reminding the elders of that glorious future that lies ahead. He is a fellow elder, a fellow witness, and a fellow heir of glory. And as such, he appeals to them, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. Well, no doubt Peter could remember Jesus referring to himself as a shepherd. I am the good shepherd, he said. And no doubt he remembered the occasion when the risen Lord Jesus commissioned him as an under-shepherd. At the end of John's Gospel, we read of that moving conversation between Peter and Jesus. Do you remember it? Three times Peter had denied Jesus in the high priest's courtyard on the night before the crucifixion. And then a short time after the resurrection, the risen Jesus had reinstated Peter on the shore of the Sea of Galilee with three questions. We read at the end of John's Gospel, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, Son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Jesus, the great shepherd, commissions Peter in his role as under-shepherd. And Peter, in turn, commissions his fellow elders as under-shepherds in their own individual locations. Be shepherds, he says. Don't abandon the sheep when the tough times come. Shepherd them. Feed them. Care for them. How? With God's word. On one occasion that we're told about in Mark's gospel, Jesus was surrounded by a great crowd of people. And we're told that he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So what did he do? Well, Mark tells us in the next sentence. So he began teaching them many things. That's what a shepherd of God's flock does. He teaches the sheep with the word of God. Be shepherds, Peter says. Now he's addressing the elders in the churches that he's writing to, but it's a responsibility that's shared with all in leadership. It doesn't matter whether you're a home group leader or a Sunday club leader, a youth club leader or so on, your role is the same. It's to shepherd the sheep by feeding them with God's word. Notice who the sheep belong to. They're not your sheep or my sheep. Do you see there in verse 2? They're God's sheep. They're precious to him, bought with the blood of his son. And they're under your and my care if you're in leadership in the church. See, the focus of attention of every leader in the church must always be to bear God's flock on our hearts, to build them up and strengthen them, to seek them when they go astray, to defend them from harm, to comfort them in pain, and to ensure that they're not diverted from following Jesus. And at the heart of it all is the faithful teaching of God's word. What a great responsibility. So how are we to do it? Well, it's by following the example of Jesus, Peter says, our second heading. Please look down at verse 2 again. Peter writes, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Well, Peter's giving us three sets of contrasts. And all of his instructions here are drawn directly from the example of Jesus. Here's the job description for Christian leaders. Not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, Peter says first. Christian leaders are to serve willingly. In John's Gospel, chapter 10, Jesus says of himself, the good shepherd, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. It's an expression of love for the sheep. Jesus loved you and me so much that he willingly laid down his life upon a cross. And God wants those who serve as under-shepherds to have that same love. It's love that will willingly make sacrifices and even endure persecution for the sake of the flock. Well, that willingness to serve comes only through walking closely with the Lord. And the more closely you and I walk with the Lord, attending to our Bible reading and prayer, loving him and obeying him in all areas of life, the more we'll love those whom he loves and be willing to serve them. Martin Luther famously said, I have so much to do today that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer. See, that's the right way round. First comes our relationship with the Lord. And out of that flows our service of his people. And please pray for those in leadership in the church, that they would tend their relationship with the Lord, that their love for those under their care would grow day by day, and that they would lead willingly as God wants them to. Next, Peter says, not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Peter's warning those who are in Christian leadership to guard their hearts. Christian leaders are to focus on what they can give, not what they get. Maybe it's money, maybe it's power or reputation. Perhaps it's the sense of self-worth that comes from being in leadership and being respected and listened to and loved. But that what's in it for me mindset is fatal in Christian ministry. Jesus asked a very different question. Not what's in it for me, but what's in it for them. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, Jesus says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. He isn't a hired hand who's only in it for the money and abandons the flock when trouble comes. He's the good shepherd who's come to serve and to lay down his life for the sheep. See, the focus of Christian ministry is always on giving, never on getting. It's on serving others, not on serving myself. So Peter's warning those who are in Christian leadership to guard their hearts. And we need to hear that warning, because greed and self-interest are always near at hand. And they are destructive. Think of the damage that's been done to the church and the reputation of the gospel by American televangelists with their prosperity gospels and their constant demands for money. And if Christian leaders are only in it for themselves, the moment the going gets tough and hostility comes, well, they'll be off. If I'm in leadership and I find that I'm motivated by what I can get out of it rather than what I can give, then I need to recognize that the greatest danger to the flock is not the wolves out there. It's me. And I need to step down or take a break as a matter of urgency before I damage the flock. Next, Peter says, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. See, Christian leaders are to live lives that are worthy of imitation. Jesus said, my sheep listen to my voice and they follow me. He exercised his authority by telling those in his care to listen to him, then watch him and follow his example. Now, we might think of the time in the upper room when Jesus took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist, and one by one washed his disciples' feet. And he said to them, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. That's the pattern for Christian ministry. It's leading by example. Leaders are to practice what they preach and to set an example. They're not to bully. Christian leadership isn't like this. Christian leaders aren't to be like cowboys driving the sheep as though they're cattle. Rather, they're to be shepherds who tenderly show the way, like this man here. In the church, that means showing the way in prayer. If you're in leadership at Emmanuel, you and I should be leading the way in attending our monthly prayer meetings, for example. It means showing the way in evangelism. If you're in leadership, you and I should be leading the way in bringing non-Christian guests to our evangelistic events. It means showing the way in serving. If you're a leader here, you and I should be showing the way in costly and sacrificial service in the church. And it means showing the way, if necessary, in suffering for the sake of Christ. When hostility comes, the church needs leaders who won't abandon the flock, but will show the way in suffering for the sake of Christ. If you're in leadership in the church, living a life worthy of imitation is not optional. As challenging as it is, and none of us will do it perfectly, it's part of the job description. Serve willingly, not under compulsion. Focus on what you can give, not what you get. Lead by example. And finally, Peter says, look for an eternal reward. Just briefly, please look down at verse 4. Peter writes, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. As is so typical of Peter, he encourages those in leadership who are having a hard time to have a future perspective on everything. Though the cost of Christian leadership can be considerable, the rewards are amazing. Distinguished citizens in Greek cities were often awarded a garland of ivy or olive leaves as a sign of honour. But that garland would soon wither, and the honour would be forgotten. In contrast, Peter says, when Jesus returns, the chief shepherd of the flock, he will honour those who have served as under-shepherds with a crown of glory that will never fade away. On that day, when Jesus returns, all believers will receive honour and glory. All will receive a crown of glory. But Peter's focusing here on a particular honour to be received by those who have faithfully shepherded God's flock. It's a word of encouragement to the elders that their labour is not in vain. It's a word of encouragement that they need to hear, especially if they're making themselves targets of hostility for the sake of the gospel. Seeing and meeting the chief shepherd and receiving an unfading crown of glory from his hand will surely put all the hardships and struggles of ministry into perspective. So this is the reward that you and I should be looking for if we're in church leadership. Not honour or wealth in this life, but an unfading crown of glory when Jesus returns. Peter's giving us a model of Christian leadership that's firmly rooted in the character and example of Jesus. Now, there have been many in Christian leadership whose ministries have come to ruin because they've failed to tend their relationship with the Lord. And they've failed to guard their hearts against greed. And because they've given in to a bullying spirit to get things done. Please, would you pray for those in leadership in our church family, me included, that we would tend our relationship with the Lord and that our lives would increasingly reflect his character and be lived after his example. And let's pray that all who serve sacrificially in the church family would receive special honour when Jesus returns. Let's pray. Loving Father, we thank you for those in our church family whom you have called into leadership. Please help each of them to walk closely with you day by day and to share the love of Christ for his flock. Please help them to guard their hearts against greed and self-interest. And help them to live lives that are worthy of imitation. Loving Father, as you care for your flock through the under-shepherds you have given us, please lead us all safely home to heaven. And on that day when Jesus returns and we all share in his glory, please would those who have served faithfully and sacrificially among us be found worthy of special honour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.